Blog Talk Radio.
Chief at Football Garbage Time, and we'll be having Ryan Whitfield joining us in a few moments in order to discuss some of the issues that occurred during Week 11 and looking forward to the Thanksgiving game. And there's a lot to talk about today, but once Ryan gets on, we're going to hit one of those things, and here he is right now. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Hakan?
All right, so last week we didn't have an episode because Ryan was in the midst of a four-day bender after his birthday. Happy belated birthday, Ryan.
Hey, I appreciate that.
So what did you do? Anything fun other than go on a four-day bender, which we don't recommend anybody in the audience to do, but what did you do for fun during your birthday this year?
Yeah, you know, I had some family out to visit over last weekend, and then beginning of the week, we had a sales rally at work, so we went out and had a couple drinks, you know, a couple of nights and stuff. So it depleted the immune system. I've been sick pretty much since Friday now. I've had a real bad head cold and throat cold here, so
definitely
coming up with me. Yeah.
Well, you know, at least you had some drinks before then, and who you know, that those drinks probably helped you get through it faster, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Okay, so let's get rolling this week. We got a lot to talk about because you know, we took a week off, and I'd like to get started on some stuff that happened over the weekend, which I'm sure all our listeners are interested in. So let's go ahead and get rolling. So the first thing I want to talk about actually is one of the games, and we're not going to do a bunch of game reviews this week because there's so much information to go through, but one of them I wanted to talk about really briefly was the Philadelphia Eagles at the Seattle Seahawks, which I thought was a very interesting matchup, one that I was looking forward to before the week started, and had a lot of twists and turns here. And, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, I wasn't surprised by the fact that the Seattle Seahawks managed to put this away 26-15 over the Eagles. There were a lot of mistakes that Carson Wentz made, including two interceptions, but he was serviceable. Now, the big news, obviously, is the return of Russell Wilson, who not only threw for a touchdown but caught a touchdown. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, Ryan. That was actually a well-thrown pass by Doug Baldwin, who had never thrown a pass in the NFL before. So that was where it was a really interesting development. And, of course, the return of everybody else on the offense in Seattle and the defense in Seattle. Now, the reason why this was interesting to me was because those two teams were two NFC teams that I thought were kind of vying for position and have had a lot of growth over the season, Philadelphia heading in the wrong direction, Seattle heading in the positive direction. According to Football Outsiders, those two were ranked 1 and 2 as far as weighted DVOA, which is defense-adjusted value over average, which really kind of reflects how they're playing right now against their opponents over the course of the season. And last week, before Week 11, Philadelphia was 1, Seattle was 2, and they flipped this week. Seattle is 1, and Philadelphia is 2. And don't worry, New England is 3, so don't get worried about that, Ryan. So you tell me, what about the Eagles and the Seahawks? What do you think about them and how they're playing right now? And do either of them look like they're going to be competitive into the postseason?
Yeah, I think Russell getting healthy in Seattle. We've seen a couple weeks now in a row the offensive line has seemed to come together a little bit here. So I think they're a scary team because they're one of those teams that over the last, you know, 5 years, it doesn't really matter what happens in the regular season. They're kind of just biding their time to get to the postseason.
Right.
And as long as they get in, as long as they're rolling come November, December, and January, you know, they're going to be one of the scariest teams to play in the conference. So, you know, I think, you know, we could talk about Seattle forever. I love that team. But I think that they'll definitely be vying for an NFC championship again this year. And you know, really honestly right now, given the fact that the only other team who really looks dominant in the NFC right now, I guess there's two, but they're both in the NFCs, the Cowboys and the Giants. But when you look at the Cowboys, you know, you get a couple of rookies there. It's hard to really rely on that in their first postseason run. So I'd have to put my money on Seattle as being the favorite to come out of the NFC right now. And with the Eagles, yeah, I just think, you know, you're typically seeing what you see with a rookie quarterback, some ups and downs. And You know, I think you, in our pre-show conversation, you asked us Wentz hitting the rookie wall, and I think he is. You know, you look at a team like I just mentioned, Dallas. I think the difference there is you have such an amazing offensive line, and that you have such a, you know, such a great run game there, and complementary defense right now, that it's taken a lot of pressure off of Dak Prescott, and he's actually gotten better as the year's gone on, because he's I think he's seen the pressure kind of come off of him, and he's actually able to kind of grow and flourish under that. Whereas Wentz, we've talked about it before. I mean, you get the injuries piling up at running back. You know, I think Wendell Smallwood's a good running back. I don't know that he's more than a niche running back. So now him having to kind of carry more of the load is worrisome. And I just think Philadelphia's receiving core is garbage. I wouldn't want Jordan Matthews more than my third wide receiver on a good offense. So, right. You know, I think there's still some holes on that offense side of the ball there. But, you know, I think they're in the right direction over the next couple of years, but I think that they're going to, you know, kind of finish out like at around an 8-8 this year.
Right. Ryan Matthews with an MCL strain. It's unclear whether he'll be back or not. He seems to insist that he will be back. I would suspect he'll miss at least a game, if not the rest of the season. Darren Sproles with a broken rib. From what I understand, it is a in a place that will not get further injured, but is a question of pain tolerance. You know, I have never had a broken rib before. I don't know if you've had, Ryan, but from what I understand, every breath you take hurts. And you add running and you add impact into that. You know, I can't see Darren Sproles having a significant role, even if he does come back from the broken rib immediately. So I think Wendell Smallwood would probably be the guy. Do you think that's going to really impact Philly's chances of making a run in that NFC North or NFC East?
No, only because I think the division's too competitive, even if they were healthy.
Right.
So I didn't have them. You know, I was on their train early, but I hopped off pretty quickly. So
right.
Yeah, the three teams have just emerged too much to this point that I don't think there's really much Philly can do at this point.
Do you think that going into next year that they should focus on Wendell Smallwood as their feature back, kind of get rid of Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles, or do you think that they should really just kind of hang on to what they got on the running back position?
Yeah, and they can do kind of whatever they want. I would just focus on that receiving core. You know how I feel about running backs. I would try to upgrade the tight end if possible. And I would definitely try to upgrade the wide receiving core there.
Well, that goes without a doubt. But, you know, Wendell Smallwood did actually have most of impact through the air. He had 4 receptions for 31 yards, pretty reasonable. Actually, the 4th most receiving yards of anybody on that Eagles team, which isn't saying a whole lot. But, honestly, you know, it's not a terrible fit for that system. I wonder what they're trying to do there. Zach Ertz back, 6 receptions, 35 yards, and a touchdown, so that's nice to see as well. Let's look to the Seattle Seahawks side for a second. So Russell Wilson, you know, he looks like he's back to me. The one thing that I thought was really upsetting is C.J. Procise. Obviously, I'm a big fan of his because he went to Notre Dame, and he's done a lot of good there. He showed some really dynamic ability, including breaking off that 72-yard run for a touchdown early on, now has a broken shoulder or broken clavicle, likely out for the rest of the season, at least until the Super Bowl, if they actually make it that far. What do you think about Thomas Rawls going forward?
Yeah, I like Rawls. You know, I think, you know, he was supposed to be the kind of the predecessor here, and he's had some injury issues this year. But, you know, again, I think the offense is starting to gel again like they do in the second half of every year. So I think it doesn't really matter who you put back there. I think you're going to see some success. You know, similar to last year, Russell in that offense was poured the first 8 weeks of the year. And then the last half of the year, Russell and Doug Baldwin were playing, putting up MVP-type numbers. And then the running game opened up as well for them. So I think Rawls back is going to help with the Procise injury, especially in, you know, they're obviously confident at letting Michaels go. So,
Right. I think honestly that if they can have Rawls and Procise healthy next year, that'd be a great 1-2 combo, because Procise obviously a very good pass catching back and also very dynamic. Rawls more of a between the tackles runner. I think that'd be a terrific combination for them back there, and they could keep both of those guys relatively cheap, which again another fantastic deal for those guys in Seattle. So let's go ahead and move on to our next topic. So I'll have to tell on that one. Let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts a little bit. You know, I don't want to talk about the game so much, but about Andrew Luck. So Andrew Luck has had kind of an up-and-down season. He had a really up-and-down – he's had several up-and-down seasons, really, mostly due to injury. Now it looks like he has a concussion. He wasn't at practice today. It's unlikely he's going to be able to get up and ready to play for Thursday night. What are your thoughts about the Colts without Andrew Luck? Do you think that this is basically a team like we saw before when he was out for basically the entire season, that they cannot exist without him, that basically it's an Andrew Luck team or bust?
Yeah, it's absolutely an Andrew Luck team or bust. They've managed to compile one of the worst crap bag teams in the NFL. Anyone who's listened to this podcast over the 2 years can attest to my disdain for Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano. I think
right.
I think they're both idiots. They have no idea how to build a football team. They don't know how to manage the clock. They don't know how to play a game. And what you're seeing is probably one of the most talented quarterbacks in my lifetime to come in the league. His years are being wasted. I get constant fights on the weekends in my fantasy football chats with kids who have Andrew Luck on their team. They're complaining about Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck's a bum. He stinks, blah, blah. He does not stink. Andrew Luck has nobody. His starting left tackle is Anthony Costanzo. That is not he's not good enough to be a premier left tackle in this league. He should not be your best tackle on your football team. You have no offensive line. Frank Gore, as I predicted, his running yards per game has gone down since he left San Francisco. They continue to just invest at wide receiver and invest poorly. Everyone gets excited about the Dante Moncrief and those guys, but it's really the offense is really T.Y. Hilton and nobody else. It's him and Andrew Luck, and they connect on the deep ball a bunch, and it works out, and they have one of the best kickers, or probably the best kicker in the NFL right now. They still can't build a defense. So if you take Andrew Luck out of that, you have a barely 500 team with Andrew Luck out there. You take Andrew Luck out, and you have a really, 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 really bad team. So I expect
right.
Thursday night to not be competitive at all. I heard reports say that teammates are saying that they're hearing, like, T.Y. Hilton told an interviewer today, I think, that he's been told that Andrew will not be playing Thursday. So they're going
right.
to get their doors blown off by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Indianapolis allowing the second most sacks of any NFL team this year, 35 total. Only Cleveland allows more, 38. That's probably part of the reason why Andrew Luck is always injured, is that they just don't provide him with enough protection. In addition, according to Football Outsiders, Indianapolis, the second worst defense DVOA in the league, meaning, honestly, they can't stop anybody. They can't stop anybody. And that's a problem, honestly, if the offense is going to have to make up for it and they're constantly under pressure, that is not a good combination that's not a winning combination. I think you're absolutely right. Indy's got to build their offensive line. They're going to have to start investing in their defense a little bit more, particularly in their secondary. And they got to make sure they protect Andrew Luck, because that's all they got. All right, so that's basically what I wanted to talk about with Indianapolis. So let's go ahead and move on to the next topic of the day, and that is going to be the AFC. Right now, and I'll say this not passing judgment, and I'll say this from an unbiased standpoint, the Patriots appear to be the leading option for the AFC into the Super Bowl. But there are other teams out there that look like they have a chance, including the Oakland Raiders, Tennessee Titans, perhaps the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe others. What are your thoughts? Which teams do you think may challenge the Patriots for that Super Bowl bid on the AFC side?
Really only one. I still, from a lifetime of horrible, horrible Mile High memories, if Denver can grab that home field advantage or finish a seat above the Patriots, if New England has to play a road playoff game in Denver, I don't like their chances. Anything short of that, I don't think that anybody is going to challenge them. And with that said, we didn't get a chance to talk last week. Patriots rebounded with a win this week, but I'll be honest and say that I don't love this Patriot team right now. Something stinks. It is.
Wow,
it is
that's
very
strong words from the Patriots fan. Really. So what did you see that you didn't like from last week's game?
So it's eerily reminiscent of 2009, where Bill let the locker room get away from him. For anyone who doesn't remember, that is the year the Patriots Brady was back from the ACL from the year before. Patriots went, I think, 11-5, won the division, but had to play in the divisional round of the playoffs. And on the first play of the game, Ray Rice took it 80 yards to the house. On the first Patriots offensive series, Terrell Suggs strip-sacked him. That game was, I think, 28-0 at the half, and it was a runaway for the Ravens. One of the few times in my lifetime the Patriots have lost a home postseason game. So that team had a lot of issues going on in the locker room. And the Patriots entered in this year. They let go of Chandler Jones, who I don't regret letting go of. But what they had done is they have a lot of guys whose contracts are ending at the end of the season. And Bill kind of rolled the dice thinking that, you know, maybe they'll play for the higher contract. And I think what you're starting to see is we're halfway through the year and not a single guy has been given his money yet. Nobody's been locked up. And there's something like 13 free agents. I mean, it's right down the list. It's Malcolm Butler, Hightower. It was Collins. It was Jones. It's Daron Harmon. It's Logan Ryan. It's Jabal Sheard. I mean, it is literally Chris Long's on a one-year contract. I mean, 90% of that defense is on, or their contracts are up and in this year. And the Patriots haven't re-upped anybody. So, it's starting to feel like a lot of the guys on the defensive side of the ball are saying, well, I'm not going to play through injuries, or I'm going to be out here trying to make plays to get on film so I can get my money next year because we're not getting it here. And so I think there's a little bit of distrust in the locker room right now. And the Patriots held San Francisco down a little bit more last week, but overall they were not in the first half. Kaepernick was throwing all over them, and it wasn't until the second half when he started looking like himself, airmailing some balls, that the Patriots were able to kind of stem the tide there and win the game. So I think they're fine on the offensive side of ball, but I think that defense is a fatal flaw right now. However, I don't think anybody in the AFC is good enough to beat them because of it. Right. Oakland looks like they could, but Oakland's got, an even worse defensive situation. So if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Denver in Denver. But, they're going to have to win their division at this point, and Oakland's starting to really put a stranglehold on the AFC West. So,
You don't believe in Oakland?
One of those two, but.
Wow, so you don't believe in Oakland at all then? Because 8-2, pretty impressive. Fourth-ranked offensive DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, obviously behind New England, Atlanta, and Dallas. But, they're pretty solid. Now, it's true, they have the third-worst-ranked defense in the NFL. So they actually have to keep passing, and they actually have the fifth most points per game because of that, because they're always in catch-up mode. 27.2 points per game. But you really don't have any faith in Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders? I mean, they did look pretty solid on the Monday night game against a relatively solid Houston Texans defense. And they've looked good all year round, really.
Oh, please. That defense in Houston's always been overrated. First of all, one of the biggest things, and when I gamble on the weekends, I'm in a suicide league right now. One of the first things I look for is a team who has to travel coast to coast. So I think that does matter. If Oakland has to fly out to Foxborough in January in a playoff game, I think that puts them at a disadvantage right there already. Cold weather, the 6-hour flight, the time difference, all of that will matter. They haven't, some of their biggest stars, Cooper, Tavis Murray, Derek Carr. I mean, you're talking about a bunch of guys who haven't really been in that moment before, so I think that'll matter. And then if it's a shootout in Foxborough in January, and that because that defense is a bad, it's worse than the Patriots defense, and I don't believe the Patriots defense would stop Oakland that much. I still, in a shootout, I'm still taking Tom Brady. If it came down to it, I don't want to predict this far out, but, I could absolutely see the Patriots winning a 31-24 game to go to the Super Bowl in that case. However, again, if they got to go to Denver, that's never worked for the Patriots. That defense in that stadium is a bad combo.
Okay. All right. Well, very interesting. So you're thinking Denver Broncos as the potential AFC challenger for the Patriots, Oakland Raiders maybe still a year out. Others, Pittsburgh Steelers, any thoughts about them? I mean, they did have a dominant defensive effort this last weekend. Of course, they're playing the Browns, so that doesn't mean much. But, Big Ben seems like he's okay. He's doing what he needs to do. Le'Veon Bell looks really solid. Antonio Brown getting his. What do you think about the Steelers?
Yeah. Steelers have been too inconsistent and had too many bad games this year. Roethlisberger still isn't right. They really leaned heavy on Le'Veon. last week, and Le'Veon hasn't been a stranger to injuries. You know, it's been two things with him. It's been can't stop smoking and can't stop getting hurt through a couple years here. So I don't know if they're going to play conservative like that against Cleveland to try to edge out a victory there. I don't know that they're fully ready to contend. Plus the division's always tough, and the Ravens have played better. And I just think those sometimes the AFC North teams just beat each other up too much throughout the year. So I like Pittsburgh. I love Big Ben. I love all their skill players. I'm not fully set on that defense, and I just they haven't really shown me yet that they can really be consistently a contender throughout the season.
Okay, all right, and we already talked. So let's go ahead and just switch over to the other side really briefly. Let's talk about the NFC, and we already talked about this a little bit because the Seahawks is one of the things we're talking about, and the Cowboys are out there. Now, do you think the Packers? Do you think they're out of it now? Do you think there's just no chance the Green Bay Packers can make a run at the end of the season?
No, another horribly constructed team. They have some major issues going on there. They got no run game. The offensive line hasn't been very good this year. Their receivers aren't creating separation at all. Jordy Nelson doesn't look like he's fully back from that injury. He has some flashes here and there, but it hasn't been consistent. They still haven't replaced their tight end production since Jermichael Finley. And that injury was like 4 or 5 years ago when he had that horrific injury. So, and then the defense is as bad as it's ever been. So, I think Mike McCarthy's a bit of a boob, and I don't think he knows how to manage the clock well either. He can call a great offensive game, but I don't think he has a full grasp on things. And, the team that's starting to look kind of emerge from that division looks real, and we'll see it this Thursday. I think quietly the Lions are putting together kind of a nice season here. So, where it looked like, the Vikings are coming back down to earth, there's another team kind of emerging while the Packers continue to tread water. And I said this to you last year, and I'll say it again. This is not a Tom Brady biased opinion, but I just think Aaron Rodgers is super overrated. I think for a guy who's had those weapons around him, to have that much talent around him, all the faults, aside from the faults I've listed this year, but still, the most important thing you need is a good quarterback. And if you're that good, you make up for the faults around you. There have been multiple times I can cite it where Peyton Manning led a team that had no business going deep in the playoffs. Tom Brady in 06 with that, with Doug Gabriel and Rasheed Caldwell as his receiving core, took him, a drive away from going back to a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers gets all this press, and so he's been to one Super Bowl in whatever it's been, 7, 8 years now. Not good enough, so... And he has that kind of arrogance about him that maybe he could use a little bit of humbling to step back and look at it and realize that maybe the issues aren't just everything around him, that maybe there's some things in his game that he needs to improve and work on, because he's too damn good talent wise and skill wise to have been this mediocre. He always gets to the postseason, but one Super Bowl appearance in all those years, it's just not good enough.
Right. Well, maybe it has something to do with his brother being on The Bachelorette this year, because he's obviously been bad mouthing him all season. So a little bit of family dysfunction there probably doesn't help. But Jared Cook back looking pretty solid this week, and he was coming off injury for 2 months. He went 6 for 105 on a touchdown. I think that might be a reasonable response in a tight end. He's had his best quarterback playing with him since he's gotten into the league. So there's some potential there. But you're right. Doesn't look like they're going to be able to get anywhere. And I think the defense is actually more of a problem for the Packers than the offense. I think they can score. I think they have no ability to stop people from scoring. Redskins looking red hot against them that night, with Kirk Cousins throwing for 375 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Rob Kelly, Fat Rob, running for 137 yards and 3 touchdowns himself. So that's a lot of scoring they allowed there. So we're running a little short, so let me just go ahead and switch over to the Thursday games. We have Thanksgiving games this year, as per usual. We got some great matchups coming up. We have the Detroit Lions, as you say, playing that day, as they always do. And we got the Cowboys playing that day, which I think is going to be really exciting. And we have the Pittsburgh Steelers playing that day, which I think is also going to be really interesting. So tell me, which one of the games on Thursday this week are you most looking forward to, and why?
Yeah, I'll go with the one I already kind of touched on. Originally I was excited for the Colts-Pittsburgh You know, mainly selfishly because I have Roethlisberger in four different leagues and I have Hilton in a couple different leagues. So, for fantasy
right.
implication, I was pretty excited. But no, I'm going the morning game, the Lions and the Vikings. Vikings rebounded after their losing skid there. The Lions, like I said, have been secretly hot. I mean, they're winning a lot of close fourth quarter games. The suicide league I mentioned I'm in. I did take the Lions over the Jaguars last week, and they were giving me aneurysms all morning Sunday. So, you know, but they've been the cardiac kids that pulled it off in the fourth quarter a lot this year. And I'm going to say with, you know, just, you know, the last kind of quarter of the season to go, I think the team that wins this game could very well be the team who goes on to win the division this year.
Excellent. All right. So I got to ask you one more quick question about that because I really like the – I actually was looking forward to the Redskins-Cowboys game. I you know, I'm not a fan of either team, but Dak Prescott, man, did he look impressive against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, what do you think about that game? You want to pick a winner for us online here, Redskins-Cowboys? You think they're going to be – it's going to be just the Cowboys rolling again?
Yeah, just because, you know, and I think Cousins has elevated a little bit more this year than last year. But God, I still don't take that team very serious. So I don't buy the Redskins on the road. If this game were in Washington, I'd be really excited to watch it. But the inverse to going to Dallas, I think Dallas blows doors on them. I just don't think the Redskins can compete with the physicality. Just talk about as much. Every time we talk about the Cowboys, we talk about it. And so does everybody. But that offensive line might be one of the all-time best offensive lines in the history of the NFL. They just – I could go back there and rush for 150 yards a game. I love watching the Cowboys this year. They're fun. They're entertaining. So I'll definitely be excited to watch that game. I just don't think it's going to be as competitive. I think the most competitive game of the day is going to be the morning game.
All right. So we're looking forward to a great slate of games on Thursday. So let's go ahead and go to our last segment, Too Legit to Quit or Can't Touch This. We'll get it rolling. We're going to do it real quick because we're running a little short on time. But let's go ahead and get started. So Marcus Mariota, one of the hottest quarterbacks over the last couple weeks, leading the 8th-ranked Tennessee offense. Not a great record, but he's looking pretty solid. Marcus Mariota, too legit to quit or can't touch this?
Yeah, I'm going too legit to quit. I think once he gets, you know, a better receiving core than Kendall Wright, and Rishard Matthews around him, that he'll grow into one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Awesome. All right. Next question. Tyler Boyd stepping in for a injured A.J. Green. A.J. Green tearing his hamstring may not be back for the rest of the season. Tyler Boyd as a wide receiver, the number one wide receiver in Cincinnati, too legit to quit or can't touch this?
You got to go can't touch this right now. You know, I think he's shown some promise this year, and I like him coming out of college, but you got to see him in the number one role and actually, you know, fighting through the best coverage the other team has to offer before you buy on that.
Okay. And we just talked about him. The Redskins took over for Matt Jones. Rob Kelly, Fat Rob, he looked pretty solid. 3 touchdowns this last week. Is he too legit to quit, or is he can't touch this?
Yeah, I've been resistant on the undrafted kid, but I'm going to have to, at this point, you know, eat my crow and go with too legit to quit. He's been 3 or 4 weeks now and then a solid RB1 back there.
Yep, all right. And last one, Jared Goff, number one overall pick, gets his first start of the season. He does okay, manages the game, doesn't make any mistakes, but basically kind of dinks and dunks his way across. But from what you saw, too legit to quit or can't touch this, Jared Goff?
Yeah, I mean, this early on, I got to go, can't touch this. They're obviously, as much as Jeff Fisher's an idiot, they're seeing something in practice that they didn't want to start him, and he came out and he was pretty mediocre in his first start. So,
all right. So that's basically all we got time for today, this is going to be, and we're going to be back next week, and we're hopefully going to add a podcast on fantasy football as well for all you out there. So for the time being, give us your Twitter account so people can follow you.
Yep, at Ryan Whitfield, N-E.
All right, and you can follow me at FB Garbage Time on Twitter, and we'll go to give you keep you up to date on all the great games that are coming up. And for the time being, then, until next week, have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Enjoy Turkey Day. Enjoy the football, and we'll see you again next week.